guerra.
As we celebrate Father's Day this morning, I want to share that as a dad, I sometimes feel guilty at missing something my kid might be doing while I have to work. Every father has to strike a balance between work and family. In fact, every one of us, whether we are a father or not, has to strike a balance between work and family. Both work and family are blessings from God. And that's what we want to talk about today. The blessing of work. But there's a lot of different terms that are used to describe what we do for work. Some of us use the word labor. We celebrate Labor Day. And we think about work as hard work, toil, labor. There is occupation, which is literally what occupies our time.
Thank you very much.
Seems like a weekly occurrence now. Thank you. And sometimes we use the word occupation. What do you do as an occupation? What takes up your time? Well, my occupation is television watching, because that's what takes up most of my time. But that's not really what we mean. When you're not home, what are you doing? Job, that some of us look at it as the task that we're accomplishing. What's the job? What do you do as a job? What is your task in life? But what I want to use as the word of blessing is vocation. What is your vocation? Vocation comes from the Latin word vocare. Vocare means to call or to summon. And our vocation is what we are called to do with our lives. So as I am speaking this morning, I want you to think about what you are called to do. And some of you have been called to a job, a task, an occupation, work. Some of you have been called to volunteer, work. Some of you have been called to unpaid occupation and work. All of them are a gift from God. All of them are to be thought of as a gift from God. And all of them, whatever our vocation is a healthy habit for the church and for its people. God gives us a calling, a summonsing, to engage in his creative or sustentive work in the world. And it's a healthy habit that we ought to pursue. But how are we to work? Let's look at Colossians chapter 3, verses 22 to 25. And the first thing we'll see is that our witness in work is seen in obedience. The NIV records it this way: slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eyes is on you and to win favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Before we go on, I don't want you for one moment to think that our Bible or that Our mandate is to be slaves in the colonial sense of the word. Because it doesn't. The word that the Greeks use in this passage, the word that is written here, is doulos. D-O-U-L-O-S. Doulos. It comes from the root of service. And it should not be really considered slavery. Here's the difference. Biblical doulos were non-free men and women who had certain and real rights and protections. They were not free to do whatever they wanted, but they had certain real rights and protections. Among them was that for most doulos, most servants, every 7 years, you were free. Every 7 years, the debt or the obligation or the reason for your servitude was canceled. And the year of Jubilee was declared, and you were free to go. And as a aspect of how good or bad life was for those who were doulos servants, most continued to stay on, no longer as servants, but as hired hands. You were afforded food, you were afforded a place to live, you were afforded a workable wage. This is in stark contrast to colonial slavery, where non-free people had no rights and no protections and no end of their servitude. And so as we begin, I want you to make sure that we're not reading this word slaves in the 19th century idea, or even the 21st or the 20th century idea of slavery, but rather as servanthood, as giving yourselves to someone else to improve their situation and improve your own. It is very comparable to our work relationships, that we give up some of our freedom to work. We tell people, yes, I will be here for a certain amount of time. I will do this work for you. I will not do my own thing. I will not make my own decisions. I will not make my own investments in my own property. I will not take what is not mine. I will serve you. And whether it is a boss, a secular superior, or it is a six-month-old child, you say, I am entering into a contract where I will give up my freedom for your benefit, for our mutual benefit, actually. That's what's being talked about here. The Christian is commanded to obey, to do as instructed from their secular superiors. And that can be, as I said, any number of people. Your immediate superior, your immediate supervisor, your children, your husband, your wife, your client, the table that you're waiting, the church that you're serving. It can be any number of people who have the calling to manage individuals in one way or another. Our obedience must be sincere or real. or genuine. It must not simply be what is literally eye service. The word is, interestingly enough, ophthalmo, which means eye, dulia, which is servant. That we are eye servants. That we are doing things. There's two ways of reading this. One, that we could be going through the motions. That we could appear that we're doing things, but we're really not doing them. So that when people look at us, we look like we're working hard, but we're really not working hard. I am surprised, actually I'm not all that surprised, that there are websites and programs that you can install into your computer at work that when you hit a key, it will close down your internet browser and pop up a spreadsheet, or what looks like a spreadsheet. So that if your boss comes walking by, you can stop watching Netflix on the company time and pretend that you're working. That's eye service in one regard. The other idea is eye service, meaning to catch someone else's attention. You do things for show. You do things so that people will see, oh, look at that. Look at that. This person's always early. I come in at 8:30 and they are always here. Yep, and they leave at 8:35. Once you walk by and go down to Dunkin' Donuts and come back at 10. But they are here at 8:30 when you walk by them. That is correct. Yet you do things for eye service. This is used twice in the Bible. Once here and once in Ephesians 6:6. When their eyes are on you, both times. That we shouldn't just work hard and obey when we think someone is watching us. We also shouldn't work hard when we want to just please people. We ought to work in a manner not only to please our superiors, but we ought to work in a manner that reveres our heavenly supervisor, our Lord and Master Jesus Christ. We are to do what's right, whether people see it or not. That's one of the things that God calls us to in our vocation. Not only are we to follow what God calls us to do, but we're called to do that, to fulfill that calling in obedience. Sincerity. We're to do the work that our earthly superiors give us as a means of following Christ. We ought to be the ones who work the hardest. Arriving on time, departing on time, not complaining, just doing our job. And when we do that, God is glorified. God has called us to work in one field or another, whether it's in an office or in a field or in our homes or in the church. God's given us a vocation, a calling to work and to work hard, but to work obediently with sincerity. The second thing is, our witness in work is seen in faithfulness. Verse 23 and 24. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. We are to work, and our work is to be seen in faithfulness. We are to work wholeheartedly. Work at it with all your heart. We are to be the ones that give 110%. It's one of the ways of working wholeheartedly. But that's practically unrealistic. We cannot work at peak efficiency all the time. But we can give our best effort at all times. We cannot do our best always, but we can try our best all the time. That's part of working wholeheartedly. The other part of working wholeheartedly is that our whole heart is engaged in our vocation. The heart is the core of our human activity. The heart is the soul, oftentimes in Scripture. And our work embraces the best of all that God has given us. That we use our strength, we use our mind, we use our experiences, we use our passions, we use all that God has given us. We serve wholeheartedly. We give our whole heart to the calling that God has given us. Why? Because we're to work for the Lord. And the Lord is like no other earthly supervisor. The Lord knows our hearts. He knows our motives. He knows our deeds. And He will reward the faithful with an inheritance. And I want you to think about that for a moment. If you are caught up in the word slave in verse 22, I want you to think about the inheritance in verse 24. Because this is what Paul is saying here. Paul is saying that those who are obediently faithful to the Lord in fulfilling their calling by listening and serving their earthly, secular superiors, no matter who they are, that we will be given more than just a wage or more than just a daily provision. That we will be given a share in the estate. We will be given what a family member deserves. We will be given an inheritance. The servants, the staff, don't inherit. Only children do. Verse 24, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord you are serving. Now make no mistake. We are called to serve faithfully, wholeheartedly, with all that we are, knowing that God is going to richly reward us with the things that have been promised, with the things that have been written down, with the contractual obligations of a last will and testament. But the opposite is also true. That if we deny our calling, if we refuse to obey our earthly supervisors, if we refuse to serve wholeheartedly as serving the Lord, if we choose to engage in the things that are evil and wrong, we will get repaid for that as well. What goes around comes around, and the evildoer will be treated without favoritism. God rewards the faithful without favoritism. Everyone who is faithful gets a share. He also causes repayment, evil for evil, wrong for wrong, without favoritism. Every evildoer is likewise treated the same. We ought to see our work as a way of expressing our faith in Christ. It is a way of engaging the whole of our lives in the service of the Lord. There's one last thing that I want to share, and it's not in this particular passage, but throughout the scriptures, is that not only are we to be seen as obedient and seen as faithful, but we ought to see our vocation as a witness to the world of the good news of Jesus Christ. Our witness in work is evangelistic. Throughout the scriptures, there are a number of places where we are expressing God's goodness, God's good news. You can advance the slide. Thank you. Our witness and work is evangelistic. Exodus 20, verse 9. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. Our labor testifies to the world that there is a pattern that God has for life. That our entirety of life is not just work. That we are to work hard, faithfully, obediently. 6 days, and then on the seventh day, we are to rest from our labors. Matthew 5:16. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Labor enables the world to recognize God's handiwork. That as we work 6 days obediently, faithfully, God will see, God will be seen and glorified through our labor, through our hard work. 1 Thessalonians 4:11-12. Make it your ambition to live a quiet life. You should mind your own business and work with your hands just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders and so that you will not be dependent on anybody. Labor prevents us from being a burden on our neighbors. We ought to live lives where we are productive, providing for ourselves and those we are responsible for. And then Ephesians 4:28. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, so they may have something to share with those in need. Labor allows us to help those around us. Not only do we work and do we manifest obedience and faithfulness, creating a witness that God has a pattern in this world that we are to work hard and we are to rest. God not only gives us the ability to do things with our hands so that we can be seen as productive and God will be glorified in what we do, but God enables us through our work to gain extra so that those in need will be provided for. In all these ways, we are sharing the good news that God cares for us, so much so that He calls us to engage with Him in His creative and His sustentative endeavors in the world. And that may mean going into an office. That may mean going into a nursery. That may mean going into a garden. That may mean going into a classroom. That may mean anything. Whatever God has called us to, we can glorify and others can glorify Him. Our work matters to God because we have been called to accomplish it. For our sake and for the sake of those around us. Our sermon in a sentence is this: God has called each of us to engage in his work with reverence and faith in him. God has called us. He's given each and every one of us a vocation. Whether you are working now, maybe your vocation is just being a student. That is your vocation. That's what God's called you to do. To learn. Or God has called you to work. Or maybe you're retired and your vocation has now changed and now you are called to your family or called to volunteer service or called to whatever. Each and every one of us has a call that God has given us, a labor to perform. Richard Halverson, who was the former chaplain of the U.S. Senate, used to say the following benediction at the end of each of his chapel services. Wherever you go, God is sending you. Wherever you are, God has put you there. God has a purpose in your being right where you are. Christ, who indwells you by the power of his Spirit, wants to do something in and through you. Believe this and go in his grace, his love, his power. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We are to serve our secular superiors in obedience and in faith, and in so doing, extend the gospel to all those around us. God has called each of us to engage in his work with reverence and faith in him. Shall we pray?